Garland, we were talking about what could mass consciousness not do, and you were getting into some possibilities of how people have reacted and used it in the past.
Yes, I think you were talking about war, and I've got a couple of examples of war situation where the Transcendental Meditation Group have actually intervened and changed the outcomes of wars. And one of them was, I don't know if you remember the Lebanon War about 15 to 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And they were it was a mammoth war that, you know, Israel was invading Lebanon. It was a big mess. And they took, the TM people took 350 meditators down there to see if they could change the outcome of the war. It wasn't enough people. So they took another 150 down, and they got enough people there that it seemed to make a difference in the war, because the war deaths went from 10 a day down to less than one. And then what happened was they got peace within a week or two. Now, some people say, well, that's just chance. Well, they did it from the other side, too. Because this they had kind of like a border skirmish is going on a you know, a yearly basis. They took five cities on the Lebanon side that had been shelled for the past 2 years on an average of 1,000 shells a day. Excuse me, a year, 1,000 shells a year. Mm-hmm. And they had one group start meditation. The other four cities, and they're all within a few, you know, 10 miles of each other.
Sure.
So it wasn't like it was they're picking one way out in the boonies someplace. And then they followed it for a year, the shelling. And they found that the one that started meditation had zero shells hit it for the next year, whereas the other ones had at least another 1,000. And this is mind-blowing because, first of all, they didn't tell the Israelis what they were doing. But the Israelis wouldn't mind anyway. They didn't care whether somebody was starting meditation or not. They thought it was, if they thought it was, you know, if they thought the place was bad, they would shell them.
Sure.
So in other words, we're starting to get weird things happen with this stuff. And you mentioned about World War III. Well, remember the other Lebanon War that just happened about, I'd say it was about what 4 years ago.
Hezbollah launching rockets.
Yeah,
back
exactly.
In the
And they invaded him. Well, when that happened, the TM people thought that there might happen World War III. So they figured they'd try to get as many people in the middle of the United States as they could to influence the consciousness of America and see if they could influence the Israelis. And so they brought in a bunch of TMers, and they had about 2,500 of them stuck in Iowa someplace. And they were meditating there, and I don't know if Bush was the president at that time, and I'm not going to get into a political thing here, but one thing everybody agrees about with Bush is Bush does not change his mind. And he was supporting the Israeli push into Lebanon. Then about on day five, right after they got around 2,500 people meditating there, Bush changed his mind. He went to the UN. You can check out this on the internet. You can see the headlines. He went to the UN and started talking to the president of France, and he wanted to, you know, sue for peace. He wanted to change the Israelis' mind, and he changed his mind. Again, I think we do have the power to make a difference in this world.
And it also seems then that space limitations, distance, has nothing to do with it, does it?
This is beautiful. Now you're getting it. I mean, I don't mean that. Just in terms of you already got it, but in terms of the explanation, it is a quantum kind of thing. What you're saying is it's a quantum kind of thing, and by quantum, what we mean is beyond the time space limitations that the normal universe operates under. And this is huge, because if we have that capability in our consciousness, this means that we can indeed do anything we want to do. And the only thing that's holding us back are these blocks. Now in physics, now I think you guys have had some world-class physicists here, so I want to say a couple things just to kind of refresh people's minds about what it means to be in the quantum field.
Sure.
We know that the quantum in the quantum field is beyond time and space. Now, in this field where supposedly nothing exists, particles constantly emerge and go back into this nothing. So that something comes from nothing, which, of course, violates every law of nature that we know. Electrons that circle an atom, we know that they can be in many different spots all at the same time. When they shot an electron circling an atom through a force field, they found that the electron was everywhere all at the same time. How can an object be everywhere at the same time? It doesn't make any sense. the quantum entanglement is another one. Two electrons are circling the same atom. If you separate these poor guys, put them in separate boxes, these are, you know, cased in concrete and steel and electromagnetic waves, there's no possible way these guys could interact with each other. They find that if you push on one of the electrons, the other electron will immediately go in the exact same direction. Well, what happened 6 months ago was even more mind-blowing. They found that if they were communicating between each other, the communications would have to go 4,000 times faster than the speed of light. It's a new study out of Switzerland. In other words, it breaks the major law of the universe, which is nothing can go faster than the speed of light. So again, we're seeing all the laws of nature being broken down by this quantum field phenomenon in physics.
You know, and I'm beginning to understand something, Garland, that I did not understand before. I mean, I've always been very spiritual, very intuitive, into all of this, but I could never grasp the scientific reason behind it. And I always felt that there was one there, that there had to be, because it to me, the universe is based on, you know, science, spirituality, it's got it all. Just on what you've said is beginning to make sense to me for something I've never, ever comprehended before. And that is, these particles could be alive to the point, and I may not be explaining it right, but they have an ability to pick up on thought patterns, and some way they are scattered throughout this entire universe almost instantaneously.
And I think what you're saying is brilliant. And I think physicists are coming up with the same conclusion. As a matter of fact, I'm giving a talk at the Institute for Noetic Sciences in Tucson, and with all their scientists and everything, and I'm going to be talking about quantum entanglement and what you would call, what I call the collective consciousness. You would call it mass consciousness,
right.
But it's the same thing. And in other words, quantum entanglement may explain this, what you just said. In other words, we're all connected. We are all connected because there's one, I don't know if I want to get into this right now. Okay, why not?
Might as well.
There's one fundamental rule in quantum physics.
What's that?
Something has to be observed for it to materialize.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's in the wave function. And what I mean is that every particle has a wave and a particle. You take away the particle, the wave still exists. Well, if it's not being observed, then the particle doesn't behave like a particle. It behaves like a wave. In other words, it behaves like energy.